Do you know that one of the things that was really profoundly struck me as I came in May, 22nd of May 2019, was that you all sit there so holy and righteous, and you just all seem so squeaky clean, especially Michael Davies. He looks so squeaky clean. And what really struck me was this. As I started to get to know you all, I started to I started to hear your stories. And you know, I started to hear about all that had happened in your lives. And I started to have a completely different picture of the church that we had been privileged enough to come to. And there were all of these amazing God stories. And that had some of you, it happened 30 years ago. Some of you, it happened 2 years ago. And week by week, as I've met with different ones and I've heard your journey and heard just a glimpse of what God has done to transform lives, I have been so energized, so encouraged to hear what God has done and what God is doing. So we're going to pray before I speak this morning. Father, I thank you for the life and the lives of every single person in this room this morning. I thank you that you love, profoundly love every person. And Lord, the greatest love story that was ever told was that Jesus came as our Savior and our Lord. And so this morning, as we unpack exactly what the Christmas story really means, I pray that every life would be changed, that every life would be challenged as we just share the goodness, the greatness of our God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've titled my message, Everybody Has a Story. And as I've already shared, one of the personal highlights in coming to join you here at Real Life has been to hear all of your stories and to listen to how you came to a personal faith, a personal relationship with Jesus. But the greatest story that has ever been told is the one about Jesus of Nazareth, yes, being born in a humble stable in Bethlehem, and how that his birth would change the whole course of history forever, and that he came with an explicit destiny. That being the Savior of the whole world, he was to change not just the lives of those people he impacted while he was on earth, but today, right now, he's still impacting, he's still changing lives right now, right here in this room this morning. And down through the ages at this time of year, this powerful story has caused the whole world to stop to celebrate the significance of his birth. Conceived through a supernatural birth, Jesus' mother Mary finds herself engaged but not yet married to a man called Joseph, and pregnant, if you will, by divine appointment by the Holy Spirit. This transpired into the most magnificent display of God's eternal love for you and I. And he demonstrated this not just through what we celebrate now, the birth of a Savior, Jesus, the child that was born with a specific destiny, but he took it to a whole nother level, because what he then did was he asked his very own son to pay the ultimate price for the sins of the whole world by dying on the cross for you and for me. So this morning, Real Life Church, can we all imagine our own lives as a story that has chapters. And some of those chapters were written before we came to faith in Jesus. But then there's a whole lot of chapters that come after we've encountered Jesus. And that's what I've seen in your stories. I've seen you this side of faith, not before faith. And we could say that the chapters of our life stories before meeting Jesus were written by many different sources, primarily ourselves, our own choices. But after developing a personal relationship with Jesus, our chapters are now being written by the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gets to write the rest of our story. Yeah? And he's so much better at it than we are. Yeah? So, I have invited four magnificent champions this morning. I'm going to ask them to come and make them welcome as they do. I've asked Sarah and Tracy, Fritz and Mark to come and share parts of their story with us today. Will you welcome them as they come? So grab those two stools there, Mark. Thank you. And can we also, Fritz, give a microphone to everybody? So everybody has a story. Thanks, Fritz. Great. Wonderful. Say hi.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, very professional, Mark. All right. So using this example, we're going to describe some of what our life looked like before coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So Fritz, everybody has a story. You've got a story.
Tell us
what your life looked like. Try and describe what your life was like before you encountered Jesus personally.
So first, before I start this, just this little spiel or story, I just want to share with you a chapter, not a chapter, a couple of verses.
Thank the Lord
Sorry.
For that.
Okay, hallelujah. So, and it comes from 1
Fritz,
Timothy.
Fritz, this is my show.
I know. But it describes me.
Go for it.
It's from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And it says in there, if my phone will... Oh, here we go. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world for sinners. And of those sinners, I am the worst. And I'll normally stop there, but the next verse is this. But for this very reason, I was shown mercy, the worst of sinners, so that Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. All right? You know, 5 years ago, I made a decision to follow the Lord. But before then, my life didn't look really good at all. In fact, I had broken every single one of God's commands. I'd broken a lot of society's laws, and my world was falling apart. I was heavy into drugs, and it was just a way for me to find some sort of normality or escape from the choices my life had put me in. I was a gambler. I was a thief. I did all these things just to find some sort of emotional fulfillment in life. I was a bad husband. I was a terrible husband. I was a bad father. And I was the worst son to God-fearing parents that I could imagine. But in all that, God still had a purpose for me. And he still showed me his love. And he offered me hope. And he never let me go. It's one thing I look back on my journey, and is that God never let me go. And he called me in. And so about March 2014, I found myself here in this church after actually getting on my knees again and offering my life back to God to do with it what he would. Because I'd rather be in the back seat with God and let him drive. He's much better at it, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, what do you feel is the biggest change from in the last 5 years? When you reflect back and you look at yourself now on the inside, not just the outside, what do you feel is the biggest change that you can see as you reflect?
I suppose the biggest change for me is clarity. Where once before I did not know, now I see clearly. I see my future. I've known in my past, but my future is clear. It's full of hope. It has purpose. It's driven. And it is with a family that loves me. And I see that now so clearly.
Yeah. 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 And Fritz, they even let you do the news.
I know. Hey, I'm amazed at that.
That is true love. Fantastic. So, was there a pivotal point when you just, like an aha moment, when you could, that you can identify looking back, when you could see your life starting to turn around?
So, I suppose I needed to be the most broken man that walked this world. I suppose when I was completely broken, then I realized that I could not do this myself. And I remember a moment having a cup of coffee and a smoke, which I did back then, on my back coffee table. And I actually recall me getting up and getting on my knees and laying it out to the Lord and saying, Lord, I cannot do this. This is not what you intended for me. I give you the reins. And I remember that moment. And from that point, life changed. From that point.
Very good. Fantastic. Okay. Mark, everybody has a story.
They do.
Yeah. And so, Mark, tell us a little bit. Remember, I don't know anything about your past very much. Tell us a little bit about what that looked like.
Okay, my past full of blood, bloody, violent, tragical, mayhem. Did I say violence already?
Yeah, you can say it again, though, if you need to.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say it three times. Violence. Nah, just joking. Drug abuse. Criminal activity. I don't know what else to say.
What sort of state was your thinking then? What sort of things were regular sort of thoughts that you had when you were living that lifestyle?
Probably like greed, most of all.
Greed?
Yeah, yep. And just getting the job done. Well, not really a legal job, but yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So was there a moment for you? Was there a aha moment suddenly in your life?
It sure was. Like, the moment was when a bachelor 16-year-old couldn't find his mum for $50 because he owed drug money. That was.
Yeah.
That's not a very good point.
Okay, so just, sorry, did everyone catch that? Okay, so would you mind just repeating what you just said, because it's important?
Yeah, probably bashing a 16-year-old kid and finding his mum, because he owed like $50 of drug money, because I worked for my brother. Like, and that was pretty not cool. That was pretty much the lowest point in my life.
So that happened. What started to happen inside of you when you realised that kind of hit you? Wow, that's what I've done. What started to change?
Low as,
yeah? Great. Okay. All right. It wasn't great that you felt low, but yeah. Okay. So, how did you find Jesus? What happened? How did you encounter Jesus?
Some guy, Rick, used to come here.
Yep.
He brought me in here one Sunday on the 1st, 2017. Never left. Can't get rid of me.
Okay. So you walk in here, 1st of the 1st, 2017. What did you think about what was going on?
I was scared.
Yeah? What, particularly scared of anyone in particular, like Rochelle, yeah. David?
No, not that, just everyone talking different language, like, kind of creeped me out.
Yeah,
I wanted to leave.
So speaking in tongues freaked you right out?
Yeah.
Yep, yep. Hands up, who got freaked out by speaking in tongues when they first heard it? Yep, I can see those hands. Cool. All right, so what happened? You come into church?
I started crying. I was like, what's going on here? I didn't cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, big people do cry.
Yeah, okay. All right, so how many years ago? That's 2 years ago. 2017?
Yeah.
Three?
Yeah.
Okay. So fast forward 3 years. Tell us about Mark now. Tell me who you are and what your life's like.
I used to be a bodybuilder, no more. I'm a powerlifter. Got a full-time job. Nearly been here almost 3 years. Got two of the best bosses in the world, I think.
I think that's about a pay increase too, Rhonda.
No. I think I've definitely got more patience. I might slip up. Everyone does. And I think I'm just cool now.
So you're cooler than you were before?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay. Fantastic. It's wonderful. All right. So tell us about what you see for the future. What are your dreams? What are your what do you see for your future?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not gypsy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to stay here for one.
You're going to stay here for one?
Yeah.
I'm so glad about that. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome.
Well, everybody has a story. And Sarah... has a sensational story. Fourth sensational this morning. All right, so Sarah, tell us, how long have you been at Real Life Church?
I think about 3 years,
maybe a bit
over.
Okay. Yep, great. All right. So tell us about your life before you met Jesus.
Okay, it was pretty bad. I had to hit rock bottom. I was a drug addict. I was homeless for a bit. I was really unhappy even before the drugs, and I had none of the fruits. If you look up the fruits of the Spirit, I was pretty much the opposite of that. Probably lonely, depressed, suicidal at times, very angry, no patience. Yeah, it was horrible. But I didn't realise how bad it was. I thought, you know, I didn't know any different. So
Sarah, you mentioned that you were homeless.
Yep.
What was that like being on the streets?
Oh, horrible. Yeah. And it was my choice. My choices that led to that. So
yeah.
No one wanted to be around me, and I don't blame them. So, yeah, I just put myself in that situation, really. So,
okay. Yeah, and what was it? What were the circumstances that actually led to you finding yourself in that situation?
Mainly drugs, and not being able to hold down a job. Family had had enough of me. No one trusted me, so I found myself squatting in a house. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so here you are. You're homeless. You're on the streets.
Yeah.
What happens then?
Well, I was pretty heavy on the meth, and I actually thought it was a good thing. I thought I was a bit delusional at the time, and I thought it sort of got me in touch with the spiritual side, but it was obviously the wrong spiritual side. And I remember being high on the meth one time, and I felt like God was showing me that I was possessed and I couldn't control my body and my emotions, and I heard an audible voice say, "Be clean." And that was the moment that I realised it was wrong, and I just knew it was Jesus, even though I wasn't into that. I just knew it was Him, and that stuck in my head. Never again would I think it was okay. And it took me a while to stop the drugs after that. Like, it didn't, I wish it just happened like that, but I did stop after that. It took some time, but it stayed in my head what He said, and I'll never forget it. So
you're high on meth,
yep.
And in the midst of all of that,
yep.
You hear God's audible voice,
yeah.
Say, "Be clean."
And that's all He said, and that was enough. I knew what He meant. So yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Love that. Fantastic. All right. So I didn't know anything. I just thought you were this gorgeous blonde that was just used to sit right and just
yeah,
in front
that's
of
my
Rhonda.
Spot.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about your life now, Sarah.
Oh, it's wonderful. I've got full-time employment, again, same as Mark, with really good bosses. So I've got a nice little unit, which is beautiful. It's just lovely. I love it. I can see all the fruits manifesting in my life, like so much more patience, like Mark said, and compassion, like my heart. Is a lot softer now. Like I was quite hard-heartened before, and now I've got a lot more compassion for people, and yeah, and just a lot more joy in the Lord, like
yeah.
Real joy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And so, Sarah, tell us what if you had an opportunity to say something today, like to give advice, as it were, to somebody who maybe is deciding about whether they believe in God, whether they want a personal relationship with Jesus. What would you say to them today?
I'd say give it a chance, because yeah. You've got nothing to lose, and it can only go up. Like, there's so many suicidal people in the world, and I just wish that they give Jesus a chance before they end things, you know?
Yeah, fantastic. Wonderful. And anything else you want to share with us about what, the chapters of your life as far as before and now? Anything else that sort of sticks out?
Relationships with my family and friends has just changed as well. It's amazing how when I first stopped the drugs, I thought, that's it, I just have to stop meth and that's all I need to change. But I didn't realise how much He changes all these other things in time, it doesn't happen at once. But yeah, all little parts of my life are changing for the better.
Yeah, and so what I'm hearing is that what Jesus does is He actually helps you to have healthy relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, ones that have been,
Real relationships.
Real relationships.
Real love.
Yeah. Beautiful. Wonderful. Thanks, Sarah. Well, everybody has a story. Wow, what a story. Now, here is the gorgeous Tracy Geary, who is one of the most precious and valuable volunteers that we have. And she always says to me, "Bethwyn, I always want to be here on Wednesdays to help with our community outreach," because I was one of those people once.
That's right.
So will you tell us your story, Tracy?
Okay, so before I come to the Lord, I was disabled. I was in a very violent situation at home. My kids were waiting for me to die, basically, because I was that disabled and that much pain for 5 years. I was just screaming in pain all the time. So one day I decided, my son was getting beaten, so I decided to get up, get on my walker, which took every ounce of me, because I was in a wheelchair before that, to get outside the front door and just leave. So I left with my son, $30 in my pocket, a couple of bags, and I left. Me and my son were homeless for 3.5 months. We never stayed one night on the street, because I always found somewhere to stay, praise the Lord. I knew that if we were out on the street even one day, we were prime targets. My son was undiagnosed with ADHD, so he had a bit of a mouth. And me being disabled, we were prime targets. So, yeah, it was a pretty horrific time. I was suicidal, not knowing where to go. I was broken, and so I started praying. So I decided to No, actually, what happened was Josh and I were just walking about. I had an art and craft shop, art and craft at the Hope Centre here. And Josh goes, Mum, come in, have a look at this. So, guys, Tanya was there doing her arts and crafts, and we walked in. And we then found somewhere to stay for a couple of nights, thanks to Real Life Church and their generosity. And then I found somewhere to stay shortly after that. Started volunteering. No, sorry, I'm a bit nervous. So I started coming in on the Wednesdays, just like everybody else does on the Wednesdays, and went home. And I was really struggling to walk. I was in so much pain. But God said to me in an audible voice again, put your walker out on the street, you won't need it anymore. I'm like, yeah, right, I'm going nuts, right? I can't even walk or even stand up without this walker. How am I going to put it out on the street and I won't need it again? Yeah, right. But I took the leap of faith, and within a week I was walking unaided. And then within 2 weeks I was walking my first 5K run in 5 years. I started volunteering, and I've been doing that ever since. Obviously, I'm not disabled anymore. Every now and again, I still get a little bit of pain, but I was on 20 tablets a day. Now I'm on nothing. So, yeah.
Wow. So, Tracy, you said that you were disabled, and obviously you came into the church, but how did you actually accept the Lord? What happened? Was there an actual defining moment for you?
Well, when you hear an audible voice in your head telling you to take a walk out on the street and all of a sudden you can walk, when God smacks you in the face, you can't sort of deny it, can you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just right there.
So, what was your journey from there? Tell us about, so you obviously had some challenges that you were facing.
Yeah.
So how did you work through those challenges?
My personal challenges was to like myself again, because I didn't like who I was. I didn't know who I was. Started to read the Bible and realised, hey, I'm not such a bad person. I can do this. My son finally got diagnosed, and he's doing a lot better now. He did have a few suicide attempts. He's still here, thank goodness. The more I help people, the more joy I got out of it. So being a blessing to those, I was also blessed as well. So that's why it's so important that I'm here on Wednesdays, to help those who are in exactly the same position I was in, and not to judge, because we, as you said, we all got a story.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Tracy, because we chat all the time, tell us some of the other obstacles that you had that you've even recently overcome. Tell us about that. I'm giving you a clue.
The smoking thing, yeah. I've quit smoking. I do still, I must be honest, every now and again I still have a little bit of it, just one every now and again. But thing was, I was smoking 20 to 30 cigarettes a day. So from that to one every now and again, not doing too badly, but I still got a long way to go.
Yeah. Well, that is incredibly inspiring. And, you know, there's nothing like a person's story, their testimony. Because you can't refute the way that God has showed up for these people. And they're not making this stuff up. There's no cameras rolling. This is actually just real people talking about their life and what God's done in their life.
Hey, Pastor
and
Bethan.
Yes, please, Mark. Sorry. I was hoping you had more to say.
Yeah, well, I just was thinking, like, the thing I've realised, Jesus was always there. I wasn't. He didn't run away. You know, like, I was the idiot, not him.
One thing I've noticed is when you actually get into Jesus' light, when you look back, you realise on all your hard times, he was actually there all along. That's why I like that poem, The Footsteps.
Yeah.
He was always there. And, like, not one night out on the streets. We were homeless for 3.5 months. Not one night on the street. That's pretty impressive in my book.
It is. Yeah. Fritz, anything more as we've been sharing? Anything?
I'm allowed to speak more? Awesome. All right. Yeah. Now, I just want to reiterate what these two have said, and that God knows us before we were in the womb. And he knows the plans he has for each and every one of us. And he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And he is always waiting for us to make the first step. Seek first the kingdom. Give of your first fruits. And then he will. He is waiting for us always to move. And then he will come running. He will come running.
Beautiful. Sarah, anything more?
One of the best things about following Jesus is you still have your bad days when you're a bit depressed or stressed or whatever, but I'm not alone. And I know he understands everything I'm going through and he comforts me. Like sometimes I'll be laying in bed and I just feel like his arm, I can't explain it, like his arms are around me and it's just a peace. And I never had that before and it's better than anything. Yeah.
Wow. Beautiful. Wow. I'm just going to hand over to you four. You just got it.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, of course you can.
We're on a roll now, why not?
I know, we're on a roll.
Okay, so the thing was, when I was disabled, I got told that if I had an operation, there was a 20% chance that I'd be okay. It's an 80% chance I'd be paralysed from the neck down. I have not had any operations, nor have I had any other medical intervention. This is all God. God healed me.
Amen. Woo!
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. All right. One last chance. Anything else? Mark, I'm sure there's one more thing you want to say.
No, thanks.
God is good.
God is good. God is good. Amen. Would you thank these guys? Yeah, you should be standing. Come on, let's give them an applause. Yeah. Please take your seat. Some of you know that I'm one of those people, incredibly fortunate and blessed. I've been in church since I was 3 weeks old. But you know, I never ever tire of hearing the magnificence of God taking somebody's brokenness and completely changing the course of their whole life. Because when Jesus becomes the author and the finisher of our faith, all of a sudden he brings everything in our life, relationships, finances. He starts to bring them all into balance. Yeah? And, you know, there's this picture, and I may have shared it with you before, of the Lord being like the perfect gentleman, and he's got a top hat on and a suit, and he's very dapper. And he comes along to each one of us, and he's the perfect gentleman. He never forces himself. But what he does is he stands respectfully and honourably, and he says to Adele, he says to Mary, he says to Leah, and he says to Pastor Ken, and he says, and we've got these heavy weights, these loads, like, you know, heavy suitcases, you know, when you're travelling and you've got heavy suitcases. But he comes as the perfect gentleman. And when our load is so heavy, we're so burdened down, often by our own choices, by our own mistakes, by our own sins, he comes to us and he says, "Can I carry that for you?" And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't encountered him as your friend and saviour, he comes to you this morning as the perfect gentleman. And he says, "Can I carry that for you? All of your sin, all of your regrets, all of your brokenness." He comes to you today and says, "Will you let me finish the chapters of your story. Would you close your eyes, bow your heads? I don't need to give any sort of appeal because you've actually heard the power of people's stories this morning. But I know that you, like me, have been profoundly affected by what you've heard. And maybe you are that person that up until this point has not given their life to Jesus and found him to be your Lord and Savior. But I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If there is anybody here this morning that says, actually, I want him to carry my load, I want him to write the rest of my story, would you put your hand up nice and high? Just lift it high. Fantastic. Yep. Wonderful. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Beautiful. Yeah. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. If you would like to come for prayer this morning, we would so love to pray for you. Just come if you've responded, if you've put your hand up this morning and you just want him to come and carry your load. Would you come? Because we would love to stand with you, link arms with you and just pray for you at this particular season, at this time, that he would be so close, so real to you. So we're going to leave this space here this morning open for you to come. And guys, we're going to sing Amazing Grace.